This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, neither Carlson nor Hurdle has a stall in the visitor's dressing room. Pavelski does, but none of the three are on the ice as we speak. And that is sensational.
Frank and I were able to identify that from up here. Yes. We just didn't want to. We were trying to build up the drama. It's amazing how many players said, it's just a game. We got to go out. Even if they're feeling otherwise, they're not going to tell us how excited. Pat Maroon's usually the closest to being honest, yeah. Don't you think, about the excitement
right.
level?
Just the candor.
Yeah. Like, hey, we know there's a lot of excitement around town. And
we're blanked off.
Right.
How about
game 19, by the way, of this. Isn't that crazy to think?
Wow.
If I went through, and other than Solly, who probably could, specific games. Like, there's certain moments when Parayko hit Bishop and knocked him over. The miracle in Manitoba. There have been, the hand pass. There's certain moments that stick out. But it is a little bit of a blur, isn't it?
Yeah.
However,
right.
when they had the chance in an elimination game at home, they took care of business. Game 6 with the Jets, Game 7 with the Stars. They were able to finish them off. Sharks, however, are 4-0 right now in elimination games. 3 straight against Vegas, and then the Game 7 against Colorado was an elimination game. So they've been in this position.
I'm not guaranteeing a victory here, but wouldn't you be absolutely stunned if the Blues don't come out flying? I mean, if you're coming off your best game ever, and I know there have been instances like this in the postseason before where you expected to come out flying and they didn't. But, I compared it last night on TV to kind of like an NCAA basketball team, like peaking as the tournament evolves. Patino's teams did that. Denny Crum's team did that. They just got better each round, and it seems like they're getting a little bit better every game.
Yeah, and I think Steen's the one who says it the most consistently, that we need to get to our game. And I think they've kind of found their game. And it would be stunning if they didn't play well right out of the gate. We see games along the way where they're real flat. It's sort of unexplainable how in that moment you couldn't
You're
be
right.
at your best at that moment, unless it's nerves kicking in. But I think the guy at the other end, when it's Binnington, who's given up one goal in the last two games, I think he just gives them a confidence. They just know. I mean, he gave up 5 in the hand pass game, but it still didn't feel like he played terrible. And I think Micheletti said that to you. He didn't play terrible.
No.
That's the thing that changes this entire run, is you got a guy back there that you're not worried about.
And the Sharks do have a guy back there who you could be worried about because he's had isolated really bad moments in the regular season, isolated really bad moments in the postseason. And, I know that, Pierre Maguire said that if – Martin Jones didn't play as well as he did, that game would have been 8-0. And you're granted, he didn't have a chance on some of those, but I'll take our goaltender, and that's the main reason why the Blues are leading this series.
And as long as the Blues have been around, I love that Kenny Albert stat on Sunday that he tweeted out.
Yeah.
First time in history that a team had a hat trick, a penalty shot goal, and a shutout all in one. Pretty incredible, especially this franchise has been around for a long time too. To be able to put that into the history books. And to see Jaden Schwartz, of all people, you look at the NHLstats.com, only Couture has got more. To see him leading the NHL in playoff goals. It's pretty incredible. That said, I know there's a portion of the fan base, Jimmy Huer and I are probably guilty of it, thinking, boy, they wouldn't do this to their fan base, would they? They wouldn't host a Game 6 where they could clinch and move on and lay an egg. They wouldn't do that, would they?
I don't think so, no. If this were the Stanley Cup Finals and this were Game 6 and the Blues win, who would be the playoff MVP? Would it be Schwartz or would it be Jordan? Probably
Jaden. I'm going to hedge. I hope my family's life doesn't depend on it or it's my last meal on earth, but I think I'd have to wait and see how Binnington played. Right now I'd say Schwartz. But if Binnington is dynamic,
I've had back-to-back shutouts.
Yeah, if he's dynamic in the Stanley Cup Finals, then I think that changes it. And I never liked the co. Like even when Hernandez won the MVP, I hated
with Willie Stargell, 79
co MVP. I guess you're still the MVP, but I wouldn't want to go co. I think right now it's Schwartz, but that could change.
So here's the question from Brian Hoffman: if the Blues win tonight, What are the odds that Strick comes into the studio for his noon hit tomorrow straight from O.B. Clark's?
I'd say 100%. 100%. And I asked him, how is it that you're at Schneidhorst drinking with Matthew Tkachuk for like 5 hours? You got a one-hour show. He said, yeah, we left about 8:30. I'm like, your show's over at 5. And he's on a plane with Goldfinger to Dallas, to San Jose. And I said, what is Lori doing with you got a bunch of kids.
Young ones.
Yeah, and I said, what did she just tell the kids? It's daddy's time of year when he's taking a nap the day after a big game. And he said, that's exactly what she says. This is daddy's time of year. She'll get her payback when she gets to go to Ottawa this summer for a junior midgets tournament.
that's the family that'll vacation.
Be the big, that'll be the
They're
big
going
payoff.
To Ottawa or Wisconsin.
Big payoff for her. And again, Card scheduled to play the Royals tonight. I hope that they give everybody plenty of notice so that the downtown and weather always. I'm telling you, 2011, it worked to the Cardinals' advantage. Remember the rain out, and it allowed Carpenter to pitch Game 7.
Yeah.
2006, they couldn't get a game in without rain. Wouldn't you know it, biggest night in downtown St. Louis in a while, and weather is a major concern.
What is it about Irish bars benefiting from the St. Louis Blues? Maggie O'Brien's tonight downtown will just be jumping. O.B. Clark's will be packed. Good Irish bars with great food and just real true hockey bars.
That's why Frank was knocking down that Guinness last week. Just good luck. Wait a minute. Actually, I think Tom Stasiak, who had an IBEW waiver that day that he was able to use.
You know, by the way, in the food picks opening, when I open up and say we're at Maggie O'Brien's, you can see you and Brian on the air in the background.
Is that right?
That's right.
I'll be turning in my after fee.
That's right.
To Channel 5.
All right. Let's see what
I
else.
I think Chris Kerber may join us next hour.
Okay.
Along with I don't know. I'm guessing. I think Kerbs has got some Blues business downstairs. He'll check in at some point. His report brought to you by Petromart. But the Sharks are about to leave the ice. And I do think as much excitement as there is in St. Louis and as much as we've noted the Blues are playing well, you still got to respect the fact that team has played a lot of playoff hockey. They got a lot of veteran guys. I know they're beat up. I don't think anybody is walking around thinking it's over. That would be a dangerous place to be.
They have other 30-goal scorers. They have other guys headed to the Hockey Hall of Fame like Joe Thornton, and they'll be put on a fine effort tonight, I'm sure.
You know, and Thornton has gotten all the headlines, and I said the other day, Backes now has a shot at a Stanley Cup, and I'm sure NBC will ignore it in lieu of Joe Thornton. Well, one guy, so it's from Miami, but came back at me with all these stats of how many years in the league. Like, it's not comparable. And I didn't chime in, but I wanted to just say, you're new here. This is a St. Louis theme. We're just kind of joking. I'm not comparing the career of Backes and Thornton. We're just sort of pointing out that nobody would get any headlines other than Joe Thornton.
Mr. Kerber has arrived.
He has arrived. He is not a healthy scratch.
Sorry, fellas. Had something come up that needed its attention.
More important than this?
Just, you know what? Not
just
by much.
Close.
I had to make a value call.
Thank you.
So I apologize for pinching you guys late in your show.
No, we're fine.
What do you make of Carlson, Hurdle not having a stall in the visitor's dressing room, and Pavelski, the three of them, not dressing?
I wonder if it is gamemanship. I would think about this, and I don't know, this might put the conspiracy theorist people to work, right? But, you know, if they're not going to take the morning skate anyway, they could put a stall in there later. You know, so I don't know. It feels like it could have a little Scotty Bowman gamemanship to it. But I have no idea. Here's what I do know. Thinking about these injuries that the Sharks have dealt with over the last couple of games, it just doesn't matter to the St. Louis Blues. It doesn't matter. It's not all of a sudden like, okay, this is going to be an easier game because Carlson is out. That's not going to be the case. They're going to put in a player, Tim Heed, who's won some, you know, a championship while playing over in Europe and was actually a teammate of Oscar Sundqvist over there in Sweden. You know, and they'll bring in Radil or they'll bring in Simek. They'll bring in, and all of a sudden, just some young legs. A young spark could change a line. And maybe Evander Kane gets a loose puck because of the young legs that got it in front to him, and there's a goal. So if you're the St. Louis Blues, you're addressing this game no matter what. Even mentally, you don't care what the name or the number is so much as just how you play that game that you can play.
And everyone expects that they'll come out and try, the Blues, try and get that jump early. Because that's probably a team that's a little emotionally frustrated and physically beat down. How much of an emphasis for Craig Berube even to say, let's get on him early, let's get the jump?
Yeah, and you know what? That's really been his emphasis throughout the playoffs. I think the Blues have scored in the first 6 minutes of a game now 9 times and are 8-1 when they have done so. I mean, that tells you something right there. It's what they want. You just don't want the other team to get some momentum. And look, the Blues had to weather a storm for about the first 5 minutes of Game 5 and then were able to get that turnover and a good break on a goal by Sundquist there. So the start of the game is going to be huge. This place is going to be insane tonight. I mean, we all know that. The bars are going to be insane tonight, you know, around town. I just think that you guys off that. I think if there's going to be a challenge, and I have talked to Craig Berube about this over the year, but it's really not letting your emotions get that much higher. So stay within that range that you know you can be successful as an athlete in, and it'll be good. And if they can get a couple early and put the pressure on, I mean, it could be just enormous just because I think, you know, it's almost like they broke the will of the Sharks a little bit in that last game.
Yeah.
Took them completely out of their game, and you'd like to have a game where they don't feel like they got that back.
Rarely can you win a series without your best player playing really good. And fortunately for the Blues, they don't have that situation anymore because Vladimir Tarasenko has really showed up.
Yeah, and you know what? The offense wasn't there in the first two rounds, but there were certain aspects of his game away from the puck that Craig Berube liked. And I'll go back, I think it might have been Game 6 against Dallas, and it was a defensive back check by Vladimir Tarasenko just inside the blue line that actually negated a wide-open scoring chance for the Dallas Stars. Braden Schenn, it may be a great example of that right now.
Yeah.
Not really picking up the points, but he is doing the little things, guys, to help you win hockey games. And then this series after the first two games in San Jose, and we talked to Bernie Federico about this. This series was, okay, whose best players are going to get to their game first? And in this case, it wound up being, Tarasenko, you know, and Schwartz continues to go on a roll before maybe Pavelski and, you know, and Kane and those guys. And it's been great to see, though, and good for Vladdy, because you remember the last conference final in 2014, he was non-existent until the final 10 minutes of Game 6 when it was too late, whatever he was battling at that point in time. So I'm glad to see him having some success.
Sharks were squawking a little bit about some of the hits on Hurdle and Pavelski. It feels like the Blues are always the ones on the other side of this. Do you think the approach has been, not to injure, but do you think the approach has been, let's be more physical than we've ever been?
No, Craig Berube's approach has been be physical when the opportunity is there, but the key is the puck. Don't go out of your way to run and hit somebody, but if the puck is there, go through the body and get the puck. The Pavelski one, I mean, that's just a check as the puck arrived, and there was nothing illegal, high, anything on that. Pavelski just was squashed and has already been dealing with some injuries there. Yeah, I think if you look at the Barbashev one from a Blues perspective, if that was the other way around, we might be clamoring for a little bit more there. You know, but even if you watch that play and you need to watch the way Hurdle was, you know, just looking away from it, not being aware in the neutral zone. How many times do guys in the National Hockey League talk about keeping your head on a swivel coming through the middle of the ice? And then, you know, I just they've been physical right from the start. I find there's some great ironies, guys, from Game 1. Okay, first off, you're in Game 5 in San Jose, and Sharks fans chanting, refs, you suck.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
if there is any team maybe in the history of the NHL playoffs that probably shouldn't be taking that approach, it's this one this year for San Jose.
They've had a few things go their way,
a couple
right?
things have gone their way there. But the second part of that is, you know, the Blues set some tone early. Joe Vitale talks about, on our broadcast, investing in the series. You know, they didn't win Game 1. But they sure came out and threw some checks and let guys know that they were going to be in for a battle. And it wears on them. Well, this is a hockey team, the Sharks, that, you know, have gone to two different Game 7s. And we were just actually talking to Craig Berube after he met with the media and kind of the broadcasters get together so we get some of the real stuff, you know.
We just get the crumbs.
You get the surface. Yeah. You got to listen to the broadcast for the real goods. He was talking about how these series, maybe even more now than when he was playing, and Gary Galley was down there too, and is the game is just so fast that there is such a grind on you physically and mentally, for that matter, and even more so mentally, and that's why you don't practice. That's why the Sharks had an optional skate. That it's managing that, and managing that now seems to be more of the topic and harder than what it used to be. And over a 7-game series, that's how you wear teams down, and the Blues have been doing a great job of it.
I've had more inside hockey people tell me that Martin Jones is not great and that glove side is a weakness. And I know the other day he didn't have much of a chance, but isn't that, when you break this thing down, the reason the Blues got a chance to finish things off is our goaltender's better than theirs?
So far in this series, Jordan Bennington has outplayed Martin Jones. Absolutely. Now there's more to it. I think the goaltending is definitely one aspect of it. You know, when you made the glove save on Carlson, you know, in game four, a huge moment there for Jordan Binnington. The toe save he made on a Brent Burns shot through traffic in the first period in game five, and the puck goes to the right, and the Blues are able to clear it. Blues are defending really well in front of the net, and that's helping him out. There haven't been a lot of second-chance opportunities for San Jose, something I think that the Blues learned in the Dallas series that is carried over very well into this one. But then the Blues' depth is where it is. Now, this Sharks team has got some depth. But you want to talk breaking a team's spirit when your fourth line has just scored goals in four straight games, and they're going, oh, wait a minute, we thought we had to worry about Shen and Tarasenko and Schwartz, and then we thought we had to worry about O'Reilly and Perron. Oh, yeah, and then there's the big rig with this 19-year-old rookie and Tyler Bozak, but it's the fourth line getting some goals? It really starts to grind at you, and, you know, the Blues have, 22 third-period goals here in the playoffs? I think Boston leads the league with 24. So 22 third-period goals for the playoffs in the playoffs for the Blues. And I think it's just because, one, their depth, two, because of that depth, Craig's been able to manage minutes. Because he's been able to manage minutes at more times than not every game, but more times than not, I think the Blues have had fresher players towards the end of games.
There have been big games, especially recent years. A Game 7 with the Hawks at home, but it's the first round. Game 7 with the Stars to get to the conference final 3 years ago. All of that said, doesn't this feel like one of the biggest Blues games, one of them, in history?
You guys
could you say biggest ever?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to say biggest ever, but you guys have been covering sports in St. Louis longer than I have. I mean, I've lived here, right? So I've been a fan as long, you know. But, I mean, you guys know that as well as anybody.
I mean, if you're ending a 49-year drought to get to the Cup, how could it not be considered the biggest hockey game?
Well, think about this. If you have a ticket for tonight's game, put a different spin on it. If you have a ticket for tonight's game, you are one of about 18,500 people that if the St. Louis Blues win this game tonight, okay, what the old arena sat 17-5? So in 50 years, you've been one, and assuming there might be a couple repeats, you know, that were there when it happened. So it happened. The last time the Blues won a game on home ice to get to the Stanley Cup Final was when they went to the Stanley Cup Final in 1970.
North right? Stars.
Okay. And there was that double overtime goal.
Kevin O'Shea.
Ron Schock.
We're talking 68. Schock.
Schock was 68. 70 was,
70s. Yeah. Okay, so you're talking about being one of 53,000 people in this city that have ever seen that scenario happen.
Now
I mean, that's like again. So yeah, I do think it's special, and I think it'd be absolutely huge. And I think, yeah, okay. I think you'd have to put this one up there in maybe top two or three if you wanted to split hairs.
Now he's really making us feel guilty because we both didn't buy tickets for our families tonight. How do you feel as a father
historic.
Now? He's trying to push Carson.
No.
Fishing game
oh,
against
come on,
Calgary
you get up
year.
On the glass. They'll probably play Dallas five times. Maybe I'll get you a stick, and you got to get to bed. And
well, let me ask you this.
They're older. Okay. They should be here.
Well, let me ask you. Okay, sports fans. Okay, you can go to one of two games. All right? You can go to this game, a game six, where your hometown team could clinch a spot in the Stanley Cup Final for the first time in 49 years, or you could go to game one of that Stanley Cup Final.
I go to the clinch.
Boy, to say you're at a Stanley Cup Finals, I'll take game one.
Yeah, see, for me,
I'm with you. I'm with you.
And
Bert.
This goes back to the Rams Super Bowl. The Prohl catch, because it was a home game and getting there, like, oh my God, they're going to the Super Bowl. And I didn't know if they're going to win or lose the Super Bowl, but oh my God, they're going. I think I'd take that over game one.
I didn't see, and I didn't throw out a clinching game of the Stanley Cup Final because that would be a no-brainer.
Yeah,
right.
But it's tough.
But
you really made me feel guilty now. Actually, Monique kind of screwed it up. So,
so Jeremy Rutherford just threw it out there that because and I'm up here, so I wasn't listening. That he confirms that Carlson and Hurdle did not make the trip. Pavelski is a game time decision.
So unless he's lying now, which would be the ultimate.
That would be the ultimate. That would be worse than painting a team's room right before they get there.
But Carlson hasn't been himself for a game and a half. So, I mean, at that point, they probably thought, we got to try something.
No, and you know what? If you've got Hurdle and Pavelski that are nicked up on the forward side, you can't take the risk of dressing seven defensemen and going down one forward. So that's the only way that you could if Carlson can go. But it was so obvious how the pain that Carlson was in. So, That's a heck of a scenario. Now, well, if you're the St. Louis Blues, not that that increases your focus, but it increases the thing. You want to end this thing now, right now, while they got some wounded ducks floating around the lake.
Yeah, not to further the analogy, but the shark analogy, there's blood in the water, right?
Yes.
Except you're the shark in this situation. The
he's
Blues
using
are,
it on
yeah.
TV tonight. The Blues are blood in the water. That story.
He's right in his open right now.
But the Blues are the sharks in this scenario because there's blood in the water. And I think they know that. I mean, I think they felt that with Winnipeg after the way they beat him in Game 5. They came here and said, do not even give him a sniff of energy.
So put the entire playoffs kind of into picture here. And you go into that Winnipeg series, and I thought that of any first-round series the Blues could have had, that one would have been the hardest matchup of any team in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Just because of their size, speed, the way Hellebuck had played, all that kind of stuff. And they found a way to get that series in six. And I mean, and that was huge. And that included losing an overtime game in that series. And the Blues game adjusted, and this is what's been so great about these playoffs. I think the adjustments that Craig Berube has done have been masterful. And so you get out of that one and, you know, go back a year ago, Washington. Washington is a double overtime goal away from going down 3-0 to the Columbus Blue Jackets. And they end up getting the overtime goal. They end up winning, and they go on to win a Stanley Cup. You take that into the next round. Now you got the Dallas Stars. You're trying to adjust from how you played with the big body to a little maybe more speed and try to do outside skill. Slightly more mobile defense in terms of how Haskinen and Klingberg played, and the Blues made the adjustments to that. You're coming into this series, and this San Jose Sharks team, to me, is a pretty strong mix between Dallas and Winnipeg. And now you're trying to meld those two together, and the Blues have done a terrific job. Look, you take away the non-call in overtime, and the fact that had the Blues just held on, you're probably talking about not even having a Game 6 right now. So,
Chris, great stuff. We are about 15 minutes late for a break, but it was well
worth
it.
Yeah, sorry about that, fellas.
No,
my bad there.
Awesome. We appreciate your time so much.
We are in your building. We're in your house, okay?
We'll be listening closely tonight.
All right, let's hope Bernoulli's for about another 2 weeks.
That's right. Chris is brought to us by PetroMart. PetroMart is locally owned. It's an operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next. 50 locations to serve you. PetroMart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items, pizza, fresh fruit. PetroMart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. PetroMart is a proud sponsor of Phillips 66 Gasoline and a proud sponsor of the Blues. We'll take a break. Martin will return right after this.